Let me begin by saying what we always need as Christians is to stay healthy in our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our greatest need, to stay right with Him, the one who has saved us, the one who has brought us a song to sing, the one who has made us His own. We are His own. And one of the ways in which we can stay healthy or maintain our holy faith in Christ is to discern false teachings that invite destruction or destructive consequences. And that is, if you are able to discern where things are going to go wrong as a Christian, and then you are halfway through. It's not that we won't have troubles in this world, but this area especially, where destruction that is unnecessary is brought upon our lives just because someone has been too clever and is teaching us his own philosophies, his own histories, rather than the word of our God. How about that? How about that? Because that is the only position where you can be supplies, really, blessings and rescues. You see, we were singing, He's our rescuer. He rescued us, and He rescues all the time. He will rescue us also. How about that? But if we drift and we give our ears and our hearts to false teachers who will take us away from the Word of God, and then we are at risk of having a crippled faith, a faith that is not active, a faith that is not joyful, a faith that is not loving and kind and humble. Because if we follow our Master, who is meek and gentle, who left the splendor of heavens and came into this world so that you and I can have life and can have joy, and can have freedom over sins, and can know really what it is to love God and love one another. How about that? So the subject I'm going to share today is not math, it's not philosophy, it's not science. My children, they don't like the fact that I know physics and chemistry and mathematics, so they want to choose the opposite subjects. And they say, well, maybe I presented myself in a bad way, so may the Lord have mercy. Yeah, so that is what I want to pray. It's not art and many more disciplines, no. With Peter this morning, we are looking at second chapter, verses. I will try to be brief. And what he's talking to us about is that the false teachers will always be around. So let us not deny this. They will be around. And their false teaching is called heresy. It's always often called heresy. If someone is declared to be heretic, so is someone, in the words of Peter, who is not teaching the word of God. And that is how he started his text in chapter 2, linking the last two verses of chapter 1 together. Let us look at this together. He said, there is scriptures that we have before us didn't come about by the prophet's own interpretations. It's not man's interpretations. This is a scripture. It didn't come by man's interpretation. No. He says prophecy never had its origin in the prophet himself or in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit of the very God. So the word is of God. And anyone who is not going to teach this inspired word, he will be teaching non-inspired word, and that will amount to nothing. And actually, Peter says, but there were false teachers, prophets, in that time, in the Old Testament. He gave us examples here, but He said those false prophets, that is not what he's talking about, but he's just really alerting us that they were false prophets. But he's talking about false teachers now, isn't it? That is how he begins his text. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. So there will be false teachers. That is a reality. So these false teachers, they will come as always secretly. They will not just say, we are teaching a word of God, a word that is from us. No, they won't say that. That is how it is described as being secret. It's not really made public and known that they are teaching their own ideas. And so let us pay attention to this. It will be really subtle. It will be really clever. And so we are to discern. And so the heresy is any belief or practice that explicitly undermines the gospel. Many people have viewed it that way, undermining the gospel. And now Peter will tell us exactly how these people undermine the gospel. Here we go. He said they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. See, that is the first thing. They will deny the master. They will deny the one who has saved you. And just let me just put a couple and then I unpack that. So they deny the master who bought them. Many will follow in their sensuality. And also because of them, the way of the truth is maligned or disputed or will be blasphemed against. And also in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. So now let's go back. When they deny the master, what is this saying? When they deny the master who bought them. So I believe denying the master is just gives us the picture of a slave who is saying that I am not a slave. My master does not have right to rule over me. So which means I have no master. I am free to do whatsoever I like, whenever I want, and wherever I am. Just imagine a Christian with such an attitude. When the word of God clearly states that we are bought with the blood of the Lamb. That is very dangerous, isn't it? The teaching of the scripture says that we are not our own. We have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, of the Lamb. And therefore, we are not free to do what we like, whenever we want, or wherever we are. That is why we try to conduct ourselves in public places and also even privately in such a way that we are not denying our master. We are not saying that we have a master. I have scriptures here that really clearly speak about this. And even Peter himself in chapter 1, verse 19, he just said it. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it. That is the word we have. And Peter really just encourages us to see this reality. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your fathers. So we were sinners. We were acting against God. We were denying that we have a creator who is holy, who wants us to walk before him holy. And Peter is bringing this before us. That was in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And now he is picking up the same emphasis that we have master. And we have also 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. Paul says here, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have formed, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So now here, this is the first encounter where we encounter heresies that are encouraging people to live independently and to live in such a way, just executing the thoughts of their minds and just wanting to do what they want. That is not a Christian attitude, and that is not a life and attitude of a person who is confessing Christ. You have heard David Cook from this very place, when he was talking about this text, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And he told us that they sold the family house, and then because they grew up in that house, so they had really some connection with that house. So they went to the landlord, and when they were giving over the keys, they were wanting to keep some of the keys. And then the landlord said to them, look, you cannot do that. Just hand over every key. Just bring all the keys. Yeah, the house now has a new owner, you see? So you can't have access. And that is what Christ is demanding, that we have no other owner. And if we are to live independently, the Bible says here, this man, and then I think this is the second point, and I don't want to just rush into that, there will be destruction. There will be real consequences, as we are told here. So we see here that the good things is like, if, on the other hand, if you say, I have a master, then you are his slave, you are his servant. And therefore, you are not free to believe anything else or to do whatever crosses your mind. You see, you are not free to believe anyone else. You see, maybe you can trust people, trusting that what they are saying is true, you see, but also trusting your master that you are not going to be deceived. That is faith also, you see. So, yeah, and Jesus says this in John 14, verse 15, who put into practice my word is the one who loves me. So if we love Jesus Christ, we will listen to him and be able to discern. Well, now I want to reveal to you also from this very text that, and that is my second point, that the wrath of God is revealed against those who sin against him and also against those who are encouraging others to sin. And that is what here he says. These people who are introducing destructive heresies, they bring upon themselves destruction. You see? And these destructions, the Bible says, will be swift. Because God cannot entertain sin at all. He wants us to repent all the time. And so here, and then also we are told that many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. That is what is going to happen. So we will not only harm ourselves, but also we will tarnish the name of our Savior. And many are examples we have seen in the last decades. Like Christian faith is not very attractive to the outsiders because of the attitudes and the practices of the Christian leaders and even Christian people. Many people were abused, and many people were mistreated, and also were taken advantage of. See, that is what the text is saying here. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. They come up, they fabricate stories so that they can have gains. Taking advantage of people, being so clever, twisting the truth, and just making it to work for their benefit and for their gains. And the Bible is condemning these such attitudes and is warning his own people to be alert and to be discerning. Because God loves you so much. And he bought you so that you are free, not exploited. You thrive and you live to bring glory to him alone. And you are free to serve him in whatever ways. That is, the Holy Spirit will tell you. But the false teachers, they will try to replace the master, the Lord himself, and set up themselves to be the masters and to have the share, the biggest shares here on earth, benefiting from the religion. And that is not what our Savior sacrificed his life for. He came to redeem and to make for himself a people, holy people, people who will bring glory to his name by their confessions and by their conducts and by their message. That is in his part, the divine word of our God, which has the power to save and to redeem and to cleanse and to empower us to live full life. You know, the word of God is given to us how to love God. This is one of the applications, that we are to love God with all of our hearts, with all our mind, with all of our strength, with everything, isn't it? We are bought, you see? And then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I have good news for you. Your neighbor, your first neighbor, if you are married, is your wife or your husband, isn't it? You see, and then everybody else. So see this. If you love the Lord God with all of your heart, and he is your master, Jesus Christ, so I guarantee that your relationship will be amazing, because you will be fearing God. Because there are teachings how husbands should handle their wife, and wives, how they share the blessings of being called together. And there is no any perfect place or philosophy that can help us to live a wonderful life only in God, because he has the grace to make it happen, isn't it? You would remember from this place many years ago, I was praying here and I was just struck by what really the Holy Spirit was just dropping on us. I was praying, "Oh Lord God, make us holy. For you would not call us to become what you will not make us," isn't it? When he called us out to be the body of Christ and to be holy and to be right and to be perfect, he knows how to make us like that, isn't it? All the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, the truth of God, all they work to prepare us to meet our Savior. And opportunities like this are for us to repent from any inclination to be independent in our thinking, in our practices. Like to repent and to humble ourselves and follow our master, who did not please himself, but for the joy who was set before him, he humbled himself and he went all the cross, despising the shame and giving his life for us. And so these false teachers, they made up histories. How many clever people who can say things that would sound like or would feel like they are true, isn't it? You see, when we were preparing at the college as a student, we had teachers, isn't it, lecturers. They were teaching us. Even one of the lesson was about the preaching. And it's the same person, David Cook, was just like traveling all the way from Sydney to teach his students how to preach. And he told us a history. And all of us, we were just like that. And it was a fiction. Thank God that he told us at the end. It was that it was just like something he made up. You see? And he was like trying to illustrate a point with that. Well, these people, they will be condemned. And that is what the Bible says. That these people, they will be condemned, and their condemnation is prepared and is hanging over them. You see? How about that? And I wrote it in capitals. Destruction, condemnation, hanging over those who are sinning against God. It's hanging over because God cannot be mocked. The Lord himself is so keen to move. And I will leave you in suspense, because you need to feel the fact that God does not like sin. And that is why he warns you against those who will lead you to sin, because he will not stop condemning you, because he gave you, he has opened your eyes. You have no freedom to go against the Lord. You know yourself you have been saved, isn't it? You know the word of God is on your lap. See? And you can discern through the Holy Spirit that this is not from the Lord. And so you are not free just to blame someone else. Well, if you choose to do that, the condemnation will hang over you, will hang over me. That is good. We live in times where there is no fear of God and there is no fear for condemnation. As long as I live this life, there is nothing else, so I can just live the way I want. And the emphasis, these people, why they were doing these things, the nature of these heresies, they have flesh in view. It's always about flesh. It's about flesh, gratifying the lust of the flesh. And now we are given examples on how God really moved and destroyed sin. And so we read in verse 4, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment." You see, the angels who were fallen, we read that in Genesis 14. The angels, they were holy, holy angels. But they sinned against God and they were destroyed. And they were brought down. They became enemies of God. And they are waiting to be destroyed. Also, if he did not spare, you see the word spare is repeated, isn't it? God did not spare. God did not spare angels. God did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people. It's a reference to the flood, isn't it? And that was a real place between the rivers, what is called Mesopotamia. Well, I pronounce the word Mesopotamia, we were told that George Whitefield, he was an orator, and he would just preach to thousands and thousands. Whenever he mentioned the word Mesopotamia in a certain way, there will be a move in the congregation. I don't see any move now. So that means I'm not like George Whitefield. So between the rivers, there's a place between Iraq, Syria, and Turkey. It's a real place where Noah was there. And you know the history, how Noah was the preacher of righteousness. He was told to warn the people that God will destroy sinners always. Ungodly, God will move to destroy them. And now this story is given to us and an example for us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will always condemn sin. So he would not spare. He will not help. We see also the third example, angels, and we have ancient world in reference to Noah. We have also the city or cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, isn't it? So they were also destroyed. God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. The punishment was meant to be for the ungodly. That is the thing. That is the things. The punishment for the ungodly. So you have these three examples. And I heard someone saying that Billy Graham said, if God would not condemn America and destroy America, he should apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah because of the same thing, sin. We can say this also for any city, anywhere in the world, that God will condemn. If we are likely to be deceived, if we are likely, and all of us, let us be really frank and honest about this. All of us, we are subject to deception. But I have good news for you. And that is my last point. We have a lunch waiting for us, isn't it? If we are all maybe even being deceived, or we will be deceived in the future, I have good news for you. And this good news is the fact that the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials. God knows how to rescue those who set their hearts on obeying him. How about that? Because we see even in the examples that we have that God protected Noah. Even as he was going to destroy the whole earth, the preacher of righteousness, the man who gave his life to God, he was protected from that. God made an ark for him and those who would heed to his calling, to his preaching, like even in our days today. Those who would just honor God and fear him and put their trust and save in the Savior, in our Savior Jesus. He will be rescued. That is why we were singing, He's our rescuer. And we shall sing forevermore because He has defeated death for us. He bore all our sins on the cross of Calvary. He defeated the enemy. He rose victoriously, conquering all the forces of the darkness, giving us a pathway for us to live a life that is free from the dominion of sin and Satan. Therefore, the Lord God knows how to rescue the godly. He knows that. Don't worry. All that He needs from you is to have faith and to face the situations with boldness, with courage, to say that I was not meant to be deceived by anyone whatsoever. But I have a master. I've been bought. I'm so precious. And He is waiting for me to speak to me personally on that day. Well done, faithful servant. Do you think that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not have time for anyone? Because sometimes we think about other people, isn't it? We forget about ourselves. You forget about yourself. You. You've heard many preachers saying that if you were the only human being here on earth, still Christ will come and search after you. You are so precious that His blood was so sufficient to save you. You alone, you. And He is able also to rescue you, the ungodly. Those who have said no to ungodliness, who have given themselves to His grace, that we read in Titus 2, verse 11. The teaching grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. And as we give our life to Him, His righteousness has become our righteousness. For we have no righteousness of our own, but of Christ. The Lord knows how to rescue from trials. Trials of deception, trials of who are powerful people who have the capacity to blend histories and make them look like are from God. No. We will test everything against the word of God, and that is His calling for us this morning. There will be false teachers among us, those who want to profit only from the religion. Their destruction is hanging over them. And if also we choose to be deceived, their destruction is also hanging over us. The Lord protected Noah. And also we see that He also rescued Lot. He rescued Lot. Lot was in a city like our city, tormented by the wickedness around him. In the language of today, pornography is just so ripe. Your face every day. Are you tormented by this as a righteous person? Are you tormented by the unbelief around you every day? People just like it's wearing and saying there is no God. Even portraying our Lord Jesus Christ in the social media as something that He is not. Are you tormented by this? Are you tormented by this? Are you not burdened by the unbelief around you? People would not believe that God even can rescue us. So we want to make every effort to do it ourselves. Because we don't think that our master cares. He said, do not worry. Cast all your burden. I care. He says this. If we sin, we have an advocate in heaven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He will forgive us and deliver us. If you need anything, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. The door of righteousness, of blessing, is open before us. And we have no need to have another master. Whether it is education or the financial system of this world, they all will crumble at the coming of the Savior. You have heard me from this very place, how God is caring for His own people. How about this young man, 33 years old, Khamis, who led his own church from North Sudan to South Sudan, 27 days on foot. And whenever they came, they read the Bible. And Genesis 28 was appealing to them when Jacob saw the angel of the Lord God descending and ascending on this ladder. And their praise was that it shouldn't rain for 27 days that they were marching and didn't rain even for a single day, because that was going to be hard for the children and the elderly. And God was meeting them, people on the street, giving them sorghums, the food that we may not eat. Maybe we use it like for activities here. And yet that was sustaining them. But they were communing with their God, trusting him 100% that he would lead them to safety. And after they got to safety, the rain poured down after 27 days for 2 days. Does God rescue his own people? Does he care? So we have no other master. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly. A righteous man who was distressed. That is a description of Lot. Distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. That is what we are in now. If that does not bother you, I invite you to pray and see how are you going with the Lord. I myself, I need to do this. And especially in the areas of our conscience. I've been praying for the last month that, oh Lord, just make my conscience really alert and alive. That I will not make decisions that will displease you. That I will not relate to other people in such a way that will undermine the fact that I'm mindful of the Savior, of the Lord who has bought me. You see, his teaching was amazing. He said, if you say to someone fool, like if just keep murdering person, but if you are angry, you have murdered. You lust after a woman, you've committed adultery. So this righteous man was rescued for the Lord. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials. That is the good news, isn't it? The other good news also is the fact that the ungodly will be condemned. That is what he's saying. But, and he will hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. We see this could be applied in various ways. We are to pay attention to the Word of God. And we see all these examples given to us, and they were listed here because in Jewish traditions, the wicked were tortured in hell. That is what they... The word says here, there will be condemnations for those who would not love the Lord. For the nature of false teachers is always they are cowards, isn't it? They are not bold people. They come secretly. That is what the word says to us. But we are given this text today by Peter to encourage us to discern and to see who is our master, who we are listening to, who we are trusting for even our livelihood, so that we don't need even to make up histories, so that we have gains and benefits for ourselves. And also not to be exploited by anyone. No one has the right. We have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. Destructive heresies will have no place in our midst by God's grace. If you are not a Christian, please give your life to Jesus Christ so that you will not come to condemnation. This is every day you have opportunity to consider trusting Jesus and his saving grace. And also searching your heart, repenting if you have been really taken under heresies or really dominated by anyone. Let us pray.